lights off, right? Okay.
Lights are all off.
Well, I'm worried about you, not me, because I'm public with everything. So.
About a world without incarceration. And I have a lot of pretty big thoughts. So are there any crimes that would be acceptable to incarcerate people for?
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not an abolitionist. No, but if you're ready, you said, I asked them if they thought it was possible. They said no, and I'm like, it's not. But you have to aim for that. No, my thing is this with abolition is future with there's no prisons, but it is replaced by something. A lot of people don't say that because there are bad people. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what happened to make them bad, we got to address that because everyone's born neutral. If something happens, they become bad. That doesn't take away from the fact that they went bad, and some people come from shit and don't go bad, so we have to figure it out. Of course, yeah. But the course is alternative to incarceration, so it is like if you don't believe in alternatives, what the fuck are you paying? Oh, your parents are paying. Why are your parents paying for this? And it was because they were falling in line behind. They knew I was going to say no. And I like to make sure my students have the ability to say, like, I don't know about that. Because I tell them what I teach is about 10% fact and 90% my interpretation of facts. And I have to be very clear on them. Like, look, if you disagree, ask me, like, Chris, is that the truth or is that your interpretation? I'll tell you, like, oh, that's how I feel. But I try to keep that out of it. Which I can, but, you know, it's hard. And it's just so different, UIUC students opposed to UIC students. Mm-hmm. I don't have a single international student. About 75% of my students are Latin.
Mm.
I call them that because I think most are Mexican, but, you know, South American and stuff. Okay. Just like, wow.
Yeah,
and
right.
When I got there, like, yeah, it's not, and there's not the privilege there is here. I'm sure there's rich kids, but it's not like here where everyone's a rich kid except me.
Or,
that's how it was planned.
Like, I don't know, was anybody else in this room a rich kid? Not me.
I'm not. Okay.
Maybe.
Well, y'all didn't go to UIC. Oh, you did go to UIC.
Yeah, but it was like.
But did you have to deal with that?
It was like $100 a semester to go to UIC when I
took it. I'll say this. There was one class, and I don't know this to be fact, but I assume every single student that was came from a millionaire family.
Well, maybe because.
It was Urban Planning. You want to know, my, you know, her dad was the mayor of Arlington Heights. And another one owned a bunch of stuff in China. Then a Pakistani friend lived on I don't remember what he called it. Basically, it was a fenced-in thing because they were so rich they couldn't allow. They had to cut deals with ISIS and stuff a couple times. Like, what the hell? They sold air conditioning units to Americans, and the terrorists didn't like that much. Yeah. And they were like, we don't care. We're here to make money. You want one, too? Yeah? Okay. No, it's true, but the world's so different in places I kind of assume it was.
Coursework, because it was cheap.
Yeah.
It was cheap to live here, too, so people just kind of moved out.
Well, technically, I don't have to be a student anymore, so that's good.
Well, I had, so in math, you know, there are a lot of U.S. students, but there's, you know, a lot of internationals, and then I went into linguistics, which was all international students, and those were like people. So
crazy.
Probably were millionaires.
I just saw my poster, and that's the only people I talked to undergrad. Because all the rich Chicago kids wanted to do with it.
That's why I
went into prison and became a cool kid. Like,
no, I get it. Like I was in the advanced accelerated pre-med program when I first came, and it was all those rich kids from Chicago, and I hated it. Hated it. So I quit. Yeah. I mean, that's not
true. And oddly enough, like, the frat guys were like people I did get along with. Like, well, you don't got to buy me as a friend. I'm here to hang out with you for free.
Dang, okay.
Oh, yeah, nice. They wanted me to rush ATOs. As a, you know, kind of like, oh, red.
I was
or
little
old
sister.
Blue or whatever.
I was my ATO little sister.
They were like, dude, what did you brush you guys for? You wanted your end. I'm like, you just know I'm a town meeting. I got connections and stuff.
For stuff. Oh.
Well, that was before everything was legal.
Right.
Oh.
From our immigrant community, we stand with them.
Can you guys hear us?
Happy New Year.
Yes, we can hear you.
Could you hear us before I turn the microphone on?
No.
We were talking about how cute y'all are.
Oh.
Oh, no, we weren't talking about that. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Good to see everybody, though. We're waiting to start the meeting. I might hit record anyway.
Recording in progress.
There's around 1.7 million, but there's around 20 million who have been through it. So, yeah, it's, they fudge the numbers of kidding who signed it. It's too much.
A perfect job or anything like that, but I see the lure in it and how people get caught up in it and things like that. But
well, the current structure reinforces it because we legalize the stuff and we price it 3 times the market value to keep the legal market going. And then we continue enforcing. I have a friend who's living in 10 years in Illinois. Yes.
Hi, everyone.
We had a little more than it should have been happening.
We have a sign of seating tonight.
Right?
Huh?
Are you looking at a serious felony like that?
Chris Minor and with a little bit of help from Liam figured out where everyone should sit.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Oh, the seating. I was like, what are you
doing?
I was like,
everybody's name.
It was me. It wasn't. These guys didn't.
Well, you usually have them out, don't you? And I just usually just sit where it's at. But sometimes, oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, it was like, we put Elaine right next to you.
No one's scared of it. We have Jane next to you.
Oh, is that true? They just
nobody usually sits right next
to you. They leave a gap.
I sit next. Oh, but I mean not the seat.
Well, I guess it's, no, I didn't expect anyone to sit there. But usually maybe you're usually there.
Well, I think at the old place, I guess we started moving closer. No,
yeah.
We were there,
wow, we don't have a lot of people here. I was like, I'm running in like 4 minutes before.
But what were...
Remember, when Chris said, do we want to push these meetings back? So how many people are getting around?
Oh, is it?
Nope.
Because
nope.
I think everybody would just be late to that time.
Right, I think that's right, Jane. And it's okay. Like, it's fun to see you guys and have a little time to
visit.
Oh, that's true.
This is a quick one tonight. Molly says that.
I mean, we have some audits.
Put you right next to Chris Minor.
I should have reached out to everybody beforehand about
hey,
the.
Hey.
We have some audit requests. People are asking for us to waive their payment suspension.
Oh, there's a game here?
Yeah.
But we had fewer late audits.
Paying so little attention, like the last game that just happened.
Like, because we only have 6 late audits, Lynn.
They're doing well.
I think last year there were 9, and that was the lowest
over,
in
so
years.
And so now it's cut in a third.
Yep. Isn't that great? I mean,
yeah, I'll take it.
It's not great, but I guess it made me very happy. It still does. Like, that's a very big reason.
Yeah.
And we are also going through the audits and finding, like, really pretty good news.
Okay. Well, and then one of the late ones already turned theirs in.
Yes.
I have them all written.
Yes,
like
you're
some.
Right. So there's only 5
outstanding.
But some of them are the usual ones.
Yeah. I think the two that are asking for an exception today have, like, one has a great reason. Like, they can document it was the CPA firm's decision not to do it, not to finish the work. Well, and the other one, and I should say this.
Well, they didn't even ask. The other ones didn't ask us for anything, so we're not giving them anything.
But the other agency is GK
she was talking to Leon back in October and wanted to, at that time, wanted to ask you all for an initial extension on the audit, but she sent us an empty form.
And we don't have
and went into the hospital that day. So, like, that one, I mean, that's like such a heartbreaker. I mean, she's still struggling with her heart. So.
I mean, I know what that condition is because a lot of people with Ehlers-Danlos have it. And I've read a lot about people who kind of have, like, everything that she's describing.
Well,
it's just, very serious.
And this is their very first audit with us, too, so it's like, I feel like these are easy. I don't know.
I guess I only say that because it's public GoFundMe, not because I...
Oh.
Yeah, I...
Did you share it?
No, I haven't. I felt like I wasn't sure what I should do.
Same, I didn't know what to do. There's a GoFundMe for Daria, the director of DCAP, for medical expenses. I wasn't sure... No, it's cancer. So she's, I don't know who set up the GoFundMe, and I'm so in the habit of sharing those, but I didn't because I wasn't sure if that was a good look. So maybe I'll just give some money and be quiet about it. Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
You have the secret lock.
Yeah. Secret tunnel.
Packets?
Yes.
Yeah, there's. I brought.
We on purpose made a whole bunch of extra.
Oh, perfect.
Packets, but don't take that. That's going in the files.
Here.
Hey guys.
Hey Tony.
Here are the extras.
How's it going this evening?
Oh,
it's going.
A game.
I can't.
Oh yeah.
Tony.
So I do what I can to evolve.
You've probably seen pictures of my husband. He has a full.
Yeah.
Watch out. He's 50.
You got enough.
No Alejandro can't come, so it's just John and Kyle.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Did you respond to Alejandro?
He put
me on the email too, and I didn't have time.
No, I did. Buttercream first.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Not messing around. No text.
I need that halfway through.
Okay.
Do you have a form?
Yes.
If you want to start, you can. I'm going to do the roll call until Stephanie joins.
Okay. I was going to call the meeting to order, but I'm like, might as well, like,
tell them about the cupcakes, though, and then you might not sit down.
Wait, what is the cupcakes?
Buttercream frosting.
Oh.
I'm not going to tell you this idea.
Okay. Oh. They're being brought around.
There's chocolate on the top.
Cupcake?
So funny how that looks like a beer on your desk.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, all right.
Like, that's been a stressful day.
Oh,
thank you.
I need to, select one before
that
I have to
so
start
nice
talking.
That was so nice of you, Chris.
Oh, I had a chocolate one. I'm going to pass for now.
I'm just looking for attention.
I'm going to pass right now, too.
Oh, my God.
This is
look, I'm getting married this year. I gotta get in shape. So.
Oh,
so getting married this year? Yeah. September.
It would be the same.
Wow.
It's an excuse why I could take another one without you. Let's get this over with, guys.
Is it going to be around here or destination?
Chicago.
All right, I will now call to order this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, January 21st, 2026, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call?
Alejandro Gomez. Chris Miner.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson. Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Jane Sprandel.
Here.
John Paul Joachim.
Here.
And Molly McClay.
Here. All right. Thank you very much. We have a quorum, so we can move forward to approve the agenda. Are there any edits, discussion, or would anyone like to move?
I will move to approve the agenda.
Thank you very much. May I have a second? All right, Palencia moves, Minor seconds. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it, the agenda is approved. Next, we will move to the draft 2026 schedules and PY 2027 allocation timeline, which are on pages 3 through 8 of the packet. I almost missed this, but we do have an action step for this one today. So action is requested to approve the meeting schedule, but I wanted to see, Lynn, if there are any other items of note in this area first. Nothing. So any discussion and or motions on this one?
Just what is the study session next week?
Leon, do you want to take it?
So next week will be family service and who else am I missing? I'm sorry, yeah, Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, the coalition.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other discussions or would anyone like to make a motion? All right, seeing no discussion, I will move to approve the CCMHB 2026 meeting schedule. May I have a second?
Seconded.
Sorry.
All right, we have multiple seconds. McClay motions, Minor and Nichols second. We can pick which ones, who is the second. any final discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the CCMHB 2026 meeting schedule as presented, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it, this meeting schedule is approved. Next, we will move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary on pages 9 through 20. No action is needed here, but Lynn, are there any updates to this section? There are not. So we will next move on to public any board discussion on this or questions? Getting ahead of myself. All right, seeing none, we will next move to public participation agency input. So as always, members of the public are always welcome to speak with the Mental Health Board. We cannot respond to public comment directly, but we may use it to inform future decisions. So if you would like to make public comment, you can do so now or at a designated time at the end of the meeting. You can do so by coming forward to the podium, filling out a comment card, or if you are on Zoom, you can put something in the chat or raise your hand. If you do speak with us, please be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the Act, especially for agency representatives. I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. Given that, is there anyone in person or online who would like to make public comment? No one in person. Is there anyone online raising their hand or? All right. Seeing none, we will move on, but there will be another portion for public comment later in the meeting. So next we will move to chairperson's comments. So I'm Molly McClay, chair of the Mental Health Board. Welcome to 2026, fiscal year 2020. 2026 and the second half of program year 2026. We have a variety of items to discuss tonight, things regarding the Disability Resource Expo and the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect activities. We have some project updates, the behavioral health needs assessment activities, some really cool reports and graphs on agency revenues that I am so excited to hear about. And we do have some discussions of audits and financial reviews because our primary deadline for audits was December 31st, 2025. So all but one agency are required to submit for that deadline. We do have this grace period in place where anyone that was late still has 3 months before their contract is canceled, but their payments are suspended. And we are happy to announce that we have a record low number of late audits. So only 6 agencies were late. And we can clap. I will clap for that. Lynn informed me right before the meeting that last year 9 were late, and that was by far the lowest last year. So we have gone even further this year. And of those 6, one of them has already turned theirs in. So there is going to be a discussion of this later in the meeting because a couple of agencies have made some requests about waiving payment suspension. So we'll kind of discuss this more in depth. And just as a reminder, that grace period ends March 31st, and a completed auditor financial review is required to submit an application to our next funding cycle. And I'm just mentioning that because I do hope that we'll get all of those audits in by March 31st, because I really want every program to be set up for success going into this funding cycle, because we know this is going to be a really big cycle, and there's a lot going on with funding at various levels of government and beyond. And so, having those applications solid with all components completed are really important. So definitely want to help set everybody up for success when applying. So we will be discussing that later in the meeting. Otherwise, it's good to see you all after a month off. So we will continue forward with the meeting, and I will stop talking for a moment. So we will next move on to Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
I haven't thought it through. I forgot that I have a comment section. So I guess there's a lot in the packet. I think it'll be really nice for us to move quickly through the agenda, so I don't want to hold it up too much. But tomorrow evening at the county board meeting, Chandra Somerville will be recognized for X number of years of service. She's been in the role that she's in right now steadily for way more years than it appears to some. So I don't care how many years we're recognizing her for. Her role is very unique. Her contribution to this community is really important. So I'm going to go and say nice things about Chandra tomorrow night. Maybe I'll see you there. Maybe I'll see one of you there. So that's, otherwise, there's all kinds of things going on, but I keep going on and on forever about that. I want to shout out a lot of agencies actually got their audits done very timely, giving us a lot of time to look at them and ask questions. And so one notable is DSC. You only fund one program with DSC, but they've been really helpful. We've asked a lot of questions. We learned a lot about the organization. It's been around for a long time. It has some very stable private sources of funding in addition to public money. It was just really interesting to have the time to ask questions about this or that and to read the whole thing and learn about what an organization can do to stabilize in an environment that is, especially for DD services, always chaotic. So anyway, that's just one. There are several agencies who are indulging us in similarly, and our CPA consultant who reads all of the audits is way ahead of schedule this year too, so we already have his input. So it's felt like productive in a way that it hasn't for a long time. Not rushed, just, it's been really nice. So anyway, shout out to everybody who works toward that requirement, which might not seem like much at first, but it is actually important. And we all want to see stable organizations providing valuable services to people who don't always have good access. So that's it. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you very much, Lynn. And I did not know that about Chandra being recognized tomorrow. So that is very exciting. I just want to give a round of applause and thank her. Thank you for your many years of service, both those that will be stated and the ones that will not be. All right, next we will move to the CCMHB board meeting minutes. These are on pages 21 through 24. An action is requested to approve the minutes of the CCMHB November 19th, 2025 meeting. So is there any discussion, edits to be made, or would anyone like to make a motion?
So moved, Rodriguez.
Thank you very much. Can I have a second?
Second.
All right. Rodriguez motioned and Nichols seconded. Any further discussion on the minutes? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor of approving minutes of the CCMHB November 19th, 2025 meeting as presented, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice lists. These are on pages 25 through 32. Action is requested to accept to the vendor invoice list and place them on file. Any discussion or motion? All right, seeing none, I will move to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. May I have a second? Thank you very much. McClay motions, Rodriguez seconds. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice list and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted. So next we will move on to old business. We couldn't decide if this should be old or new business, but the audits are an old business item, so we thought we'd discuss it first. So this is the delayed audits and reviews memo on pages 33 through 56 of the packet. A decision memorandum presents detailed background information as context for possible actions to be taken by the CCMHB in relation to late audits and financial reviews. Agency requests are attached and action is requested. And I am going to find the page 42 is where the possible actions or motions are listed that we could consider. But how we will walk through this section is I will have Lynn share, about the memo overall and any important context. Then we can take each agency request one by one. The two agencies making requests are GCAP and Uniting Pride. So we can start with GCAP and then move to Uniting Pride. Could ask agency representatives to speak. If they are available, if we want to hear from them, and then we can vote on each one. Any questions?
Can I just make a motion to waive the suspension of both of them now, or do we need discussion? Is anyone seriously even considering not waiving?
I would like to hear from Lynn first, and I do have some discussion points, but we can move to the motions quickly if people would like.
Okay, then I need to be quick, right? There's a okay. Well, that's everybody's ready for pajamas. So the thanks to Chair McClay. The memo starts with an outline, which I don't usually do because I'm so in the weeds that I think every single thing is really important. So that was really good for me to be able to say, yeah, this is most of this stuff is stuff you've already seen if you have been on the board for a year. And it's always good to keep it, to keep a record of these things so that it doesn't take us forever to look them up if you have a question. So this is really like kind of more for our sake that it's all in one place, the whole history of the rules, how the rules changed. I had to fix some of the links, the hyperlinks, because some of the websites had actually changed. It wasn't. And then last year we had to fix some of the links because the links were broken. So it's kind of a brush up of stuff you've already seen. And then the newer information is the update this year that, you know, last year there were 9 delayed audits or reviews, and this year there were only 6, well, 5, because one of them came in right after the deadline. So I think that's a really amazing improvement, and I don't know what to attribute it to. The CPA firms are still hard to secure. You can see in the requests from the agencies that one of the agencies, at the very last minute when they expected a completed financial review, got bounced from the person who was handling their case and got a new person who was on vacation. So we haven't seen a lot of that stuff for a few years, and it was unusual to see it this year too. So things, what a nice year. Anyway, that's it. And then the last couple of pages are the updates on this year. So we have starting on, there's also a new rule, which is that we want to have the start date. We want to have that information of when did the CPA firm actually start working with you on an audit so that we can understand what it takes. We've also heard, you know, that maybe some agencies, if they're small enough, don't really get treated with priority. So we kind of wanted to see some details on how long does it really take, what happens. But a lot of folks didn't know about the requirement and didn't give us the start date. So we don't have a lot of data, but I did put it in here, what the start date, if we knew, and then the completed date, which happily we had many. So that's one update. And then after that, it's updates on what's going on with the actual audits or reviews. And that's, is that enough?
I think so, okay. Yeah. To that point around the agency's new requirement to notify us of the start date, most did not notify us. And of the ones that were late, only one of those agencies notified us of the start date, I think, which is interesting. The Refugee Center was one of the agencies who was late. They have not made a request this evening, but their audit started August 15th. So that is interesting. So I'd be very curious about whatever's going on there, as well as, you know, any of the timeline on any of the other agencies that are late. I'll just read the agencies that are late so that we're aware. GCAP and Uniting Pride are both late, but they have made requests and provided details. Champaign County Christian Health Center was late, but they are the agency that has submitted their audit on January 7th. And was that approved by their board? Wait, no, what date is it? It hasn't happened yet.
I think next, this weekend?
The 24th okay. is when it's happening.
On the weekend, okay.
Which is, I thought it was past then already, but where is my brain? The Refugee Center has not replied regarding the audit being late. First Followers has replied. They stated that they're still working through it and believe they're in a better position to complete it sooner in comparison to previous years, but they didn't give any more detail than that. And then Women in Need Recovery is also late, and they have not provided any updates. So it is disappointing to see some agencies that have repeated be late on this list again. And I do hope that they will, that everybody will get it in by March 31st, hopefully as soon as possible. I mean, preferably by the application deadline, since it is a requirement of the application. Lynn, can you just, briefly explain what is being asked of by GCAP and Uniting Pride?
They're both asking that we release the payments as scheduled. That means we're holding one right now, and then at the top of February, we would release it as scheduled. And just until the audit or review, I think they're both reviews, maybe. Yes, they're both reviews. Until those are submitted, they're not asking for additional time beyond March 31st. I think there is some hope that these could be done. Financial reviews are simpler than an audit, and they're both in progress.
So I guess so they have both asked for January, February, and March already. They did not ask for like just January or like just January and February, because they expect that the financial review will not be in until March.
Okay, so the GCAP request, unfortunately, this is the first time they've ever had to do one. There were very, very different circumstances for them as well. And relatedly, when they tried to submit a request for extra time, which they tried to do in October, it was a really bad day. So what they sent us was a blank request. And so we're at the point where we're just moving forward with a request to release payments that we understand. So it may just be for January. She didn't fill out the form. Do you know, Leon? Okay. And then with the Uniting Pride, and they have a representative on the call, I think the request is completed, and it says release of paused payments. And there's quite a bit of detail about what happened. We did... Oh, no, there's the request from GCAP. She did it. It's just I put it in the wrong place. Okay. So she did it after the fact, and there is quite a bit of detail in there. So it doesn't say. It just says release of paused payments. There's only one paused payment right now. Uniting Pride's release of paused payments also could be seen to apply only to January. But I think that's a question that you could ask them.
Okay.
I don't think Daria is on the meeting. But anyway.
We can ask, see if the board wants to ask any questions. I mean, I guess I'm concerned about going ahead and giving, waiving the payment suspension all the way to that end of the grace period, because it does create kind of, I mean, one, it's sort of, basically gives like a de facto extension to that date, which doesn't really incentivize anybody to turn it in any sooner than the end of March. And if they didn't specifically ask for the extension to go to the end of March, I'm not sure that I would want to do that. That said, if it is easier on the staff to not have, you know, for us to just make a decision about all 3 months now rather than having this be addressed meeting by meeting, you know, that's something to consider.
I would say on this issue, this is more on you guys. It's more of your time than it is ours. It's pretty easy for me to update the memo every month, but then you put time into it each month.
All right. Well, I would like to open it for board discussion.
Well, I guess I will give a little thought. I kind of like the idea of going month by month, because I understand what is the incentive. We say, hey, your accountant has till March 31st. And I think we do often worry about being protective of the staff. And like Lynn said, it's just a little change to the memorandum. So maybe that's not that big of a burden. So maybe I would feel comfortable going month to month, even though do I really want to rehash this every month? But there again, every month I need a new update. Where, you know, I was the one who said it last year. Maybe the CPA needs to come and sit in these meetings. You tell me why it's late, you know. And we've gotten that in the past. Oh, well, the agency didn't get us the paperwork until November 31st, you know. So, I mean, I guess... You know, then we could put the heat on a little bit more if we were doing it month to month. But that's just a thought.
Thank you very much. Any other thoughts on this?
I'm comfortable with month to month as well.
Anyone have additional thoughts on that idea and or any other ideas?
So, I mean, I guess what's the main concern that we have? Like, obviously, the executive director is ill and has been on extended medical leave, and that's causing a lot of issues with the reporting. their social worker had to step down and required, you know, a lot of people at that organization to step up and provide a lot of community support. Like, these are very vulnerable people. I know we usually want to hold agencies' feet to the fire and make sure they're accountable, but at the same time, it's a resource in the community that's very valuable, and I don't want them stressing about this at a time when they're already very stressed. And it doesn't seem like they're not doing their job. They're doing all that they can with the resources that they have right now, and it seems like they're not being lazy. They're getting things done when they can. So I'm fine giving them the extension and then addressing it in March if we were still having issues.
Yes.
All right, so we've heard going month to month and giving them extension all the way to March. So I'd like to propose a compromise of we give an extension for January and February, since February is almost here. And if it is still not here by the end of February, then we can take the issue up again in March, because that puts a bit of an alert of you have 1 month. And if you have another deadline, and if it's not in by then the contract is at risk of being canceled. So it means we don't have to discuss it in February. They're getting 2 months of payments released to give them more time, but doesn't let it go all the way to the end, to the last minute, which could get risky for them as well as us.
Well, we used to worry about setting the wrong precedent, you know, but our process has set the precedent of taking everything case by case. So we're okay to do that. And certainly in the case of this agency, I mean, it's kind of, I think she used the word cascading at some point. There has been a cascade of problems that was out of their control. So I'm good with your compromise, certainly.
And I'm a person that uses the word precedence a lot. And so I guess then that would ask the question, since we have two agencies with requests this evening, would we extend the 2 month to both, or are we going to do it case by case and 2 months is given to GCAP and then we'll talk about Uniting Pride? So it's kind of a question, not so much a here's what I think we should do.
I think for me it's case by case, right? You take everything into context. Like, we have this standard of what we expect from our agencies, but then we also expect communication to give us context. And so I think both of these agencies have given us good context as to their situation. These are unforeseeable things. They are doing things that everything they're supposed to be doing, both of them. And United Pride, you know, also in their communications with their CPA, the CPA person left. Like, that's not anything they can do anything about. They have a new person there that's working on it at that same firm. So again, I would give them the extension. Like, I think for me, at the end of the day, they both know that, you know, if their audits or reviews are not in and they apply for funding, then we look at their application at that time. And that is the stick, in my opinion, not the funding that we're holding right now. For me, that's like, no, they don't have a history of not complying with these things. And so I would give them the funding, and then we'll see where we are. Like, worst case scenario, we're out that funding, but it's going to good causes that we know in the community has a history of spending the money well, especially GCAP, you know, very vulnerable population. I am fine, you know, with the context that they've given and the communication that they've given, that things are going to get done that is in their control, and everything else that's out of their control, you know, will get done when it gets done.
I think most motivating my seconding, I guess, Ms. Sprandles, what her comments about the month-to-month update is really, I want to underline what you said, John, that's an opportunity for communication. That's really the precedent that I care about. And maybe it's not so much as a deadline with pressure, but I would like to give them an opportunity to give an update to us. Mm. That's more what is motivating my position. But I'm happy to do either full 3 months or this compromise.
One other, I guess, compromise could be that if we do like the 2 months, we could ask them for it to give us an update in February anyway, even though we wouldn't be necessarily discussing it, or voting on anything at that point. What do folks think about that? All right. Well, we will vote on each one at a time, but it sounds like we've basically discussed them all. I guess before we vote, does anybody want to ask any questions to any agency representatives right now? Okay. So I am going to try to construct this motion. Let me just think for a moment. What do you think would be the best way to word the request for the February update? We want to make the, I guess we couldn't really make any of these payments contingent on that unless we want to make the update due February 1st. We could just make a strong recommendation to give an update, but not a requirement.
Say a request. We request that a memorandum to the Mental Health Board as to the status of the audit.
By February 18th? Do we want to make it for...
You're obligated to have information made public at, you know, at least 48 hours in advance, and the way that we've been doing it is about 10 days in advance. But also, February is tricky because we got applications coming in. So
when would the packet materials be?
There's also all these pesky Monday holidays.
Well, why don't you just release March or January, February? And then we just would see, get the update in March. That'll give people enough time. February is not enough time.
Like February 6th is when I need board documents. We also, something we're not talking about yet that we need to talk about is everything has to be ADA compliant now. And a lot of what we receive from agencies is not, because they're not under the same rules that we are. So I have spent an enormous amount of time converting documents that we receive at the last minute. So... like, it's probably, you know, this memo structure might be better than, but if they can just come and talk to you, you know.
We could have it just be in the public comment rather than.
But if they want to send us something, I do need things by February 6th.
If the motion is, like, with instructions as specified at a later time, would that work, or do we have to specify that now?
You know, February 6th is actually just a couple weeks, and we have applications coming February 2. So, you know, maybe we should be clear now.
We could, I mean, they could very easily participate in public comment at either of our opportunities. So it doesn't even necessarily need to be in a memo. We could just say, you could even write into the board an email. And
then we could read it into the record?
I mean, we don't need to read it, but I mean, but I'm just saying we have got a lot of options that it doesn't need to be, we don't need to feel rushed, I guess.
Thank you. Oh, that's so good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your patience as I try to work this out. So I will move to waive suspension of two payments on GCAP's program year 2026 contract due to late financial review, and to authorize CCMHB staff to release January and February payments as scheduled with a...
Could you start again? I have to write down what you're saying.
Okay. I'm
sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
So I move to waive suspension of two payments on GCAP's program year 2026 contract due to late financial review, and to authorize CCMHB staff to release January and February payments as scheduled, with a request that the agency make a verbal update about their financial review progress at the February 18th CCMHB meeting. May I have a second?
Second.
You sure do. Thank you. All right. McClay motions. Rodriguez seconds. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the motion has been hopefully clearly stated, so I will not state it again. May I have a roll call?
Oh, okay. Yes. You can have a roll call. I'm just, it's hard to do all this stuff at the same time, but here we go. Chris Minor.
No.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson. Oh, he's not here, sorry. Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes. With that, the ayes have it. The motion passes. So next, I will move to waive suspension of two payments on Uniting Pride's program year 2026 contract due to late financial review, and to authorize CCMHB staff to release January and February payments as scheduled, with a request for the agency to provide a verbal update on their financial review progress at the February 18th CCMHB meeting. May I have a second?
Rodriguez.
Thank you very much. McClay motions, Rodriguez seconds. Any final discussion? Seeing none, the motion has been clearly stated. May I have a roll call?
Okay. Molly made the motion. Okay. Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Chris Minor.
Nope.
All right. With that, the motion passes. So next we will move to new business. And first is the expo activities for 2026. Sure.
Is this on the last item?
Yes, it's on the last item. I just wanted to clarify. So at this time, we still have 3 outstanding.
Besides these two.
Right. And so because they didn't give us any request for payment release, those 3 payments are being held, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Is Champaign County Christian Health being held until issues are resolved with the audit as well?
Well, we have the audit. We're just waiting for their board to approve it. And it's actually already been reviewed by our CPA, so we're ready to do the follow-up. Yes, and I'm clear that in March this comes back as a full update with possible actions. And one thing that also we could do in that March action, all one package, is if there are applications submitted on or before February 2 that are not accompanied by an audit, then I might provide you updates like that so that you can think about how to deal with the application review process moving forward. So just maybe a whole potpourri of updates and questions for you. Sorry. It's the right time to do it, though.
Yes. I mean, I think that's part of the, what makes, having this be in March good is because it kind of gives everybody a reminder that by the end of that month, everything has to be in, rather than us not talking about it, which doesn't put it back in anybody's brain. So, all right. So now, I guess, any other discussion? All right. Seeing none, we will move on to new business. And the first item is the expo activities for 2026 on pages 57 through 62. A decision memorandum presents an update and our action is requested. So Lynn, can you give us this update?
So it's a long story. The first million pages tell a long story, and I put in some pretty logos. And then here's how the expo has fared in the last over 10 years as far as revenue and then cost. Where's the cost? Cost is around $71,000 each year, and then it's offset by varying amounts of revenue. I think in 2021, although we only had $100 in revenue, and we couldn't have an in-person event, we did a lot of sort of experimental activities that were related to the expo. So the coordinators were really busy thinking up these alternatives, and some of them didn't work very well, but we tried, and we kind of know what those are made of. So we're in a funny position. We have budgeted for an expo this year, an in-person expo, using these same expectations, but at the very last minute, we had a lot of sort of existential threats in October to the event, one of them being suddenly the mall was a really unsafe place to ask people to travel to. We didn't have any incidents, no major incidents, so we were very lucky, but I don't know if we'll always be able to hire police officers to come and help us, or if Dres will always be willing to provide a shuttle service. So Marketplace may not be the greatest venue anymore. So that was one thing that was really difficult. The other thing is that the two people who've done the lion's share of work to make the expo happen, and it requires a pretty high degree of organization to plan all these little pieces, had a really bad year last year, like for personal reasons, and then faced some complaints from the steering committee, which were, you know, kind of persistent problems with how the event is organized. And at that point, they both resigned. And that was late in December, at which point we've usually already booked a venue and gotten some things rolling. So I'm not sure that we can have an in-person event in 2026, even though we have put money aside to do it. A subset of the steering committee, like some people who actually have been active and done a lot of work, made some suggestions that seemed pretty clear, like what if we take a year where we think about what's going to be best for the community. There are lots of little expos and fairs that we can just go participate in or co-sponsor. And so we could, I wasn't really sure what to ask you all, but this is a big change. And the board has not really had an opportunity to say if it wants an expo at all for years. So we're in this moment where we can meet with this small advisory committee and talk about what kind of things it maybe should evolve into, and then come back and let you know. So I don't know. So there's a suggested motion down here that a lot of people helped me work on. And I'm not sure it's perfect, but anyway, it's like a little bit sad. Well, it's very sad for some of us, but I don't know. The event had become somewhat unsustainable anyway, because of, like, it's just more and more difficult to get big sponsors and to get volunteers. People are pulled in a lot of different directions, but maybe it's more important than ever to have a thing like this. So anyway, that's it. I'm
done. Any discussion from the board?
I'm just surprised there isn't a facility on campus. I'm just trying to look at places and venues that can host something like this. That would be a lot easier and
I think
safer.
The cost has been the biggest prohibitor of that, because I am under the understanding the former consultants had reached out to some venues at the U of I, and it was just very cost prohibitive. Again, I don't know for sure what, you know, did they want the State Farm Center? I don't know. But yeah, I think that was the biggest concern, was cost.
I think like Illini Union and, like,
right.
There's other facilities now. There's bigger ones on campus now. And I just don't know. Like, if there's maybe a time of the year that's a little easier with less students that they would donate to us or give us at a cheaper price, like in August, you know, rather than October, you know. But then the downside is you would have less students there. I don't know how many students go. And obviously these resources are probably utilized more by county members or people that are here all the time, not just during the school year. But
there's always Brookins.
Really? We haven't for a while?
love Brookins. I miss it. Okay.
Brookins would be a great escape room.
Well, and I think one of the biggest challenges immediately is the fact that we don't have a venue. We don't have consultants at the moment. We have one. But she can't do it all herself. And so that's why it kind of came up a little bit in the steering committee of what if, you know, we kind of take a break. We look at some other avenues. Maybe when I say rebranded, I don't mean change the name. But just, you know, what do we need? Do we need more, like, breakout sessions for people to go to? Because there are. There's a lot of different health expos out there, different even mental health and disability type things. And so maybe there's a way we can kind of take our amazing resource guide and really get on that circuit where we go to all those health fairs and stuff like that. I haven't even discussed it with Lynn yet, but I was at an event with her last night, and I was thinking about the prom that's coming up. It's not the special needs. What is it? Night to Shine, but it's for individuals with disabilities, stuff, their prom. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if we threw like a flyer in there to get to our digital guide? And, you know, maybe is that going to cost us a couple $100 to get a bunch of postcards? Maybe that's how on this year that we're trying to realign some stuff, we could still keep our name going and top of mind. You know, so I just think there's some ideas out there. You probably read in Lynn's notes, you know, we almost need to take a step back and almost make, and I don't want to use the word job descriptions because the majority of these people are volunteers, but, you know, what does a committee do? What are their expectations? Because I think there was a lot of, oh, I'll take care of that, and someone else took care of it. Or you mean nobody did that? You know, so I think maybe we just need to kind of start a little bit from the ground up on some things that we've learned. You know, again, I think my first meeting was actually with the Disability Expo Steering Committee before I came to my first mental health board meeting. So I've kind of been doing this a while. And so, and we all know I have a lot to say, but, you know, so I do think, and I have vowed I will stay on this. I will help in any way, you know, if it is, we're kind of making, you know, these job descriptions or suggestion of what a steering committee does. Because we do, one of my complaints has been we have a lot of people on the steering committee, and I'm like, I don't even know who they are or what do they do. So we need to kind of, you know, ring it back in and find out who our core people are. And so that's why we've kind of have formed a smaller group. And I think next Wednesday we're going to meet and kind of talk. But we first had to bring it to the boards to make sure that it is what the board wants, to give permission for us to take a step back and maybe just do a few more things in the community rather than one big event. So
I guess my only other, I know, just, I'm sure you guys go over all this stuff, but what about like a high school or the Leonard Center? Did you guys look into those places?
Well, there's a question about like there's some value in plopping into a public place and catching people who wouldn't know about any of these resources if they weren't passing through to buy some socks. Because really, like, people who are in crisis might not be able to manage the expo very well anyway. Like, most resource information systems are not very helpful to people who are in crisis, but they're helpful to people who don't need anything yet. So we've enjoyed a lot of accidental traffic, and that gives some exposure to disability issues where people might not be interested. But if we book a room, say the iHotel, which I recently learned is really expensive from another conference that we're trying to support, not with money, but with planning. So they have great parking. It's not that hard to get to, kind of bus service, but it would, because it's not a public environment, we wouldn't have that. So there could be a lot of venues that are,
I mean, I think the only other idea is like partnering with OSF since they're going that way,
mm-hmm.
and seeing if there's a venue that they have where people come normally that they can.
And we have tried to interest the U of I in taking a more, you know, like, serious role. And
so, well, and
I like the idea though.
Yeah. majority of us have been on the board long enough, you know. You know, we've done the vineyard, but there's some concerns about some of our agencies being at a church or even some of our participants coming to a church. They don't feel that's welcoming. And so, again, we want it to be where people feel welcome. They can get there. There's enough parking, the bus service, you know. So there's just a lot of things. But, yeah, I thought Leonard Center was a good one. Another one we thought of, which I don't know how good would be, is out at the fairgrounds. There's that Kessler Center. But there again, I don't know. Like, I doubt MTD pulls right up in there. So that would probably be a very significant way from the bus drop off to there. Again, I haven't researched it, but.
It also just sounds like there's more problems other than the location, right? That, you know, taking a beat to explore is what is being communicated to us. So.
And I think we're really lucky to have the one consultant that we do, because she's the person who's done it every year since it started. And my fear is that she will say, I can do all this. And, you know, we're both a lot older than we were when it started. And we've both been called out for doing, like, dangerous things to try to get it done. So just to, I want to be a little bit protective of her, but the spirit is there. So anyway.
The mall does get a lot of traffic. What are the issues with safety as far as having it at the mall? What's the drawbacks?
Okay, I'll start. So you might recall MTD is not allowed to come on the property of the mall now because the buses were doing significant damage to their parking lots. Okay, this is my biased opinion. Okay, they were doing significant damage to the parking lots, this and that. So they told MTD, you can come onto our property and continue to drop off on that beautiful, wonderful bus drop, but you have to pay us X number of dollars.
$1,300 a month, yep. Which we offered to pay for our one day. Yeah. And they said no.
They said no. So then that's where I was like, oh, so I'm sure Costco, Dick's Sporting Goods, all those big semis, they're paying $1,300 a month? But no one wanted to answer that question for me. So, and because the drop-off was over by where the old Zaz was, that's a really scary thing for someone with a walker who has any assisted mobility, wheelchairs. I mean, there's not even a way to get off the bus safely. If you're in a wheelchair, you have to get off on the curb in the grass. And so I think a day or two before the event, I happened to physically be standing out there. And I called one of our consultants and I'm like, you need to come down here because I don't think you can get through here in your wheelchair. And so they did. Am I correct? They hired Champaign City police officer to work as a crossing guard pretty much.
And Drez offered a shuttle service, which was amazing. That was like, thanks, Drez. That's really coming through for us. And also, I'm going to speak for Ms. Somerville. She's on the Zoom, but she was out there all day. It was raining, and the tents were flying around, and she managed the traffic out there. And at the end of the day, like, you know, we talked about it, and it was a good day. So if we had to do that again, we could, but a lot of it was like, I felt like we got really lucky that no one got hurt. You know, even we did provide a lot of protections, but still a big risk.
Well, and I just, again, I wasn't the one dealing directly with the mall corporation, but they really did not want to help us accommodate in any way. And so to me, I'll take my business elsewhere.
Yeah. Yes, we'd happy to hear from you, Chandra.
A couple of things. Yes, it did go well. I also just as the CLC coordinator, just want us to be mindful that when what made our event unique was the fact that it was people living with disabilities at the helm, at the planning of it. That does not happen in other events. And so as we're going forward, choosing to take a break, choosing to pause, I really want to make sure that we are speaking with the people with lived experience so that they can be at the helm of what it is that they need. Those of us that do have other limited abilities or abilities to move, no one knows what it's like when a person living with a disability says, this was actually for me because it was planned by someone who is like me. And so I just want us to keep that in mind.
Thank you.
And speaking on that, this motion, the advisory committee, is that where we're going to compose of people with a lived experience that actually have to deal with this? They're going to be their input. It's not going to be a bunch of us.
No, we've got a couple of people who are disability advocates, disability rights advocates who actually have disabilities. But then we have also agency representatives who work with people with disabilities, and then as much of our staff as we can cram into it. And I think Jane is doing it too.
Any other discussion?
If you don't want us to do anything, we cannot do anything.
I guess, so the motion as presented it's sort of here partly because, you know, we allocated funds in the budget with the idea that we would be doing the expo event, and now we're kind of shifting it in another direction, but we will soon learn that there is something else that we didn't expect to have to fund this year that we now do, or we may want to consider. So this is just kind of to give the staff a little direction and our, you know, support in rethinking things and having like a year to do that. So I will go ahead and move to direct CCDDB CCMHB staff to form an advisory committee to plan and carry out Disability Resource Expo activities, which may include an in-person event, and to authorize the executive director to pay for related services and products using approved budgeted funds.
Second.
Thank you very much. McClay motions, Palencia seconds. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, the motion has been clearly stated. May I have a roll call?
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson. Oh, I keep forgetting. Okay, Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yep.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
All right, with that, the motion passes. Next, we will move to the AIR activities for 2026, which is on pages 63 to 66. A decision memorandum presents an update. Action is requested. So this is where we get to hear about the thing we didn't expect to have to fund again.
There's a curious detail that's not even in here, but like, anyway, this is a few pages. I tried to include the pretty logo and a cool picture by one of the artists, and then just some details about the history. And this has not been the big moneymaker that the expo is, but it's also not very expensive compared to the expo and doesn't require a lot of staff or consultant support. Anyway. In the last few years, it's been super fun for the artists because they were invited to do their show inside the theater, and they were, even if they didn't maybe sell as much, they were treated so nicely. So that was really great to see. That was a nice ending, and I thought at the end of the festival, very shortly after the festival, we learned that would be the last festival. And so here's a curious fact that's not included in here. We never paid for the film sponsorship last year because by the time they would be sending out invoices, the infrastructure for that was gone. So I went all the way through our budget process thinking there would be no more Ebertfest, and then Chaz Ebert called a bunch of us together and said she would really like to do a last one instead of the last one just being accidentally the last one. She would like it to be intentional, so she has
booked the Virginia Theater for 2 days, and the plan is to have a shorter festival for those 2 days and then a big meal at Steak and Shake on the third day. I don't know if she knows about the Steak and Shakes. Like, I mean, I don't know how you book the whole Steak and Shake for a bunch of festival guests. I don't know that this is actually going to happen, but if it does happen, I think it'd be great for us to be involved again. We've had some really nice impacts from it. The most it has cost the Mental Health Board is $15,000 for the whole film sponsorship, and then there's some incidentals, but those are usually offset by contributions from members or by people buying passes. I don't know what the cost of a sponsorship would be this year, or if they're going to have anybody in a position to send us an invoice. But we did not budget for this for the year. So obviously we would have a lot of money, you know, from not paying consultants for the expo to do this. The other thing is, I'm going to ask the DD board next week if they would like to co-sponsor a film. They haven't done that in many, many years because there were very few films that addressed developmental disabilities, so it was a strange partnership. But I think that there's a chance they would be in on it. So even if we had the full bill for $15,000, that the cost might actually be split between the Mental Health Board and the DD Board according to the administrative cost-sharing agreement. So that's why the decision is for that full amount. I don't know what's going to happen. I was looking through old emails, and by this time last year, there was already a film selected for us, and we were already coordinating some promotions and working with artists. Stephanie Howard Gallo is really great at bringing those artists together. She knows how to work with them and who the key supporters are. So I'm confident we could do all the things, just not sure there's really going to be a festival. So maybe 2026 is just a year of question marks, but anyway, that's it.
All right, any discussion from the board on this before we vote?
I don't even know. I know we've talked about this forever now. Is there like maybe a survey effort going on to get input from past attendees if this is really going to be a pause year? Is that something we regularly gather?
The Eberfest is over.
Yes, I got that.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. It's late. But no, for the Disability Expo, or the expo that we were just talking about. I'm so sorry. I'm jumbling up two meetings.
I think that's a great idea. That's actually one of the suggestions that I believe Jane had made. If there is an advisory committee, that they should start there by surveying the community as to what it wants of an expo.
Okay, thanks, and sorry again for jumping back on the agenda.
See, that's something that folks had talked about. So, yeah.
It's something I'd actually thought about. That's why I was pointing out when you said it. I was like, oh, I just didn't say it in time. So I was like, yeah, we need to have some kind of evaluation or some kind of survey and see what the people want and see what they're interested in.
They're very interconnected memos since it's like we're kind of moving money from one thing to the other.
And we always do a survey thing after the event, but most surveys you don't get a lot of response. That's why I kind of was like, okay, can we go to an autism, you know, meeting? You know, there's community choices. They do lots of different activities. Could we just be like, hey, did you go to the last expo? What did you like? Even if we just have a big dry erase board. And so, you know, they're shouting out things that they loved, or it would have been better if this was there. And then right there was our unofficial survey. So yeah, that was something I like was like, can we do this maybe? So yeah.
That's okay. Any other discussion about the Eberfest stuff?
Well, I was looking quickly to see if they even have it on the Virginia site, and they do not at this time. So
it's officially not happening now, but she just, you know more about this than me, but Chaz brought it up that she is interested, and I guess he's reached out to people. So that's why we don't know. As of now, there is no more Eberfest ever.
But I think it's interesting that the Virginia doesn't even have down that they're rented that night, or, you know, saying like that there was something coming, you know?
Yeah, I think I like read some article about it and I was like, does Lynn know about this? Like the Ebert best, somebody decided it's happening. Well, I guess I will go ahead and move to approve up to $15,000 to sponsor an anti-stigma film at Roger Ebert's Film Festival 2026 and to authorize the executive director and staff to issue payment. I have a second.
I'll second that.
We have multiple, so McClay motion, Sprandle and Nichols second. We can give it to Tony because Chris got the one earlier. Any further discussion?
Do we have any say in the film, or do we just... Yeah. Okay.
I want to tell you...
Do I have any say in the film?
I mean, if you want to look at movies with me, please. There was one year early on...
You don't want to be watching a prison movie.
I watched 30 anti-stigma films, and it was so depressing. Like, and it was, you know, I was doing it at night, I was doing it on work time and after hours, and just, like, never, ever giving myself a break. Like, you know, documentaries about suicide. Like, it was really, really hard to do. So I like it when they give me three choices, and I would be happy to ask you for feedback. But also sometimes they just ask us generally for ideas. So.
Any other discussion before we take the vote? All right, the motion has been clearly stated. May I have a roll call?
Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Jane Sprandle.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
And Molly McClay.
Yes. With that, the motion passes. And I think that's all of the voting we have to do this evening. So next, we will move to reports. First is staff reports on pages 67 through 78. Are there any, is there any board discussion on the staff reports or any updates you would like to share, Lynn?
I do want to share that despite our best intentions, Chris Wilson and I had a plan to make his staff report accessible, but because it's mostly generated by the Munis ERP, the accounting system that whole county uses, it generated something like 5,000 errors, and I was like, I don't even know what the error is that happened 5,000 times. So we were not able to provide Chris's usual reports. Apologies. We will try to get that process started a lot earlier next time. So
thank you for your hard work on all of these and for everything, making everything ADA accessible. Any comments or questions about the reports from the board? All right, seeing none, we will next move to the evaluation capacity building project update. So we will have an oral update from the team, and as always, the packet includes a link to the microlearning videos. So take it away, we are excited to hear.
Well, happy hump day, everybody. Yay. This is gonna be short. I know every time I come, we seem to have a microlearning or something to show, and I'm sorry to disappoint you that this evening I don't have another one to show you, but we'll have a new one probably in March. So we are putting final touches on a one-page handout that will go along with how to create one's own survey with free or very low-cost survey tools such as Google and Microsoft Forms, of which we get no proceeds from, and we do have a disclaimer in. But so hoping that this will be useful for both those who want to have the visual with the microlearning, as well as a tangible text and picture version. And then we will have a follow-up in-person training with different agencies, whomever wants to come, however many members that they want to have come, with their laptops so that we can actually work through showing them how to actually create one of the surveys that will be meaningful for them in real time. So we can give them technical assistance and providing them some of the tools that will be available to them, as well as the microlearning as homework and one pager. We are also, and so we've worked with our working group to get feedback on all of that, the content and the display of what we're doing. So that's been wonderful. We are doing our technical assistance with three of the different agencies, so working with them on their measures for their outcomes as well as logic models. And that's been going very well. Kim has sent out a reminder and an update of all of our evaluation activities in the newsletter. So that has been something that we just provided to her, and we're hopeful that we'll get more requests for office hours, which you think everyone would be like knocking down our door for office hours. But then again, people are very busy and sometimes they don't know what they don't know. So we're getting the word out there about our office hours in case anyone has questions about evaluation and they're not one of our technical assistance agencies or programs. And that's what I have for now.
Thank you very much. That was actually a lot of stuff. I think I was like thinking there wouldn't be much update because it's January, but a lot of cool things happening. I think that the how to make your own survey using like the low cost tools, I think is really, really important and will be valuable, as well as the like having the handout and video, just different methods of learning for everybody. Any other discussion from the board?
I don't know if you noticed that Jacinda spilled the beans about Kim's newsletter. I know. Leon and Kim and Chandra spent some time looking into different products, and we thought we had a perfect product, and it didn't work. So Kim designed a beautiful newsletter full of really good information that's already public, so it doesn't create – we wouldn't be like – you know, creating an Open Meetings Act issue or Local Record Retention Act issue, but we had a switch, so now she's working in a different online environment, and we are getting some help from IT. But it's cool. So thank you guys, thank you Leon, Chandra, and especially Kim for this. I think y'all like have kind of wanted something like that for a minute, and we're really close. So.
Great to hear. I did catch that, the Kim's newsletter. I was like, I'm like, is this our Kim? Like, what?
No one told me it was a secret.
I think she and I both hoped that it would be out already. It's just we ran into a snag. The product that we all liked really made sense. And then we went backwards, and some of the other products we looked at are just way too expensive for what they are, but she found something that might work, so... fingers crossed.
I know. I for one, have been hearing from people in the community that they wanted something like this and, you know, have been pushing for it for a while. So I'm very excited, and also very excited about all of the activities that you are doing. Any additional comments from the board? All right. Well, thank you very much for the update.
And thank you for your support. Have a great night, too.
All right. Next, we will move to the community behavioral health needs assessment activities on pages 79 through 98. I think originally I didn't know there was going to be an update here, but one is here, and it's kind of a big update.
I mean, you really don't have to do anything with this. This is the format for those work groups. I think we were talking about the work groups a lot in the fall because they were meeting pretty actively to define their actions. And so this brings it all together, and this is what the work groups will be doing. I think the health plan is actually for like 5 or 6 years, so it's longer than our own. But we do spend a lot of time working with them on these, and so I just thought you should see. And this is also posted on the county website with our other assessment stuff. So,
any discussion from the board? All right, well, thank you very much. Disability Resource Expo update. Do we have any additional updates?
We were really hopeful for one of those comprehensive annual reports from the coordinators. They thought they would do it too, but they're not. We're not paying them anymore, so I didn't get that. But that report usually gives a lot of detail about survey results, as Mrs. Brandel was talking about a minute ago. So they may still surprise me and send it, and I'll put it in the packet when we have it, if we do. It's a good document, but I didn't get one.
Because are there unofficially results, though, from the surveys that just have not been compiled? Okay. I mean, I'm not volunteering for that. I'm not asking you guys to do it. But some survey results, not a lot. But that might be something, too, that, you know, I could look through, and it might be something nice moving through on this advisory thing, you know, if I could find some comments. So I might have you send that to me again. Maybe I'll do that in all my free time.
I think that there were so many different surveys. Like, you might be thinking of the steering committee survey results.
Yes, I definitely have seen that. But I think in your office one day, I think I read some results. And I think that was
something. And you saw the bucket of the results. Okay.
Yeah, I think Kim had sent you something. So, yes, we'll talk later. But, yeah, I think there might be I could do an oral report maybe at some time.
Any other comments on this one? All right, next we will move to comparison of PY 2025 agency revenues on pages 99 through 130. For information only is a report on revenue sources on which agencies funded by the CCMHB and CCDDB rely. So I know this is something that Lynn has been working on, and maybe other, I don't want to misgiving credit to anybody else who worked on this with you, but I know many times I was talking to Lynn about various other things, and she's like, I'm working on these charts. So I'm very excited about them, and thank you for doing it, but please explain what we have before us.
Well, other people were helping me with proofreading and just, like, how does it look. But, yeah, this is really just for fun, and because it has pretty colors. Can you see in the packet online? It has nice colors. It's also ADA compliant, so I was learning a lot of things at once. But this is just one of the things that I like about the fall. I have a little bit more time, and I can dig into something that I always feel kind of bad about. We ask for a lot of data from the agencies, and we don't always give you a summary or something meaningful using all those big data. We've worked with stats students and business students, and, you know, thinking about different ways to present different data and what can you do with it. And I thought, this really is very simple. Where does the money come from for the agencies that people rely on for services? Because I don't know if people really realize how much work their tax dollars are doing, and through which venues. Like, there was a time where you could look at an agency's revenue spread and say if they had too many state contracts that they were really vulnerable, that was a concentration of risk that was just too risky because Illinois budget was not good and their payments were very slow and Medicaid providers were kind of, you know, falling off a cliff because of problems with Illinois. But now we look at some of those federal funds that were stable for years and years are now being moved around. There isn't a single change to call out, but this was a very stable year, PY25. So I think it gives a nice picture of where organizations get the money to do all the things they do. This memo is silent on what the services are or whether people love the services or how many people use them. It's just about where the money comes from. And one thing I learned in here, and there's just a comment somewhere in it. So the first few pages are kind of like, if you look at all of it, at everybody that we're funding, where else are they getting money? And then the last million pages are each agency. But one thing I noticed when I got into each agency is that the older ones that some have been around as long as the Mental Health Board has been, tend to have a lot more private funds. So that seems like little agencies, when they get started, need private funding. And then for long-term sustainability, that becomes really important. So there's like some foundation funding. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. I like the colors. You don't have to do anything with this. But I was learning how to do these things. So
The other thing about this that I like is that we always worried about agencies that depended too much on us. And you can see how that message has gotten out to a lot of agencies, and they look healthier. There's one or two that don't, but I mean, they look like they have taken that. They've realized through experience that you've got to have multiple sources of funding and funding that isn't going to go away tomorrow or just happened on one fundraiser or something. So I liked that. I liked seeing that we were not, you know, the major funders for most everything.
Thank you. Any other comments? I wanted to comment on the private funding sources. So like for all the revenues of all agencies, 12% of them came from private. But when you actually break down what private funding means, it was disappointing to see how little of that is coming from like the kind of strongly resourced community private funds like Carl, OSF. I mean, even United Way is a pretty small portion, but like Carl and OSF were 1% of that, that most of the private funding was contributions, client pay member dues, fundraising, and in-kind contributions, and like from other organizations was less than 15%. And I just think like, why is that? Like, why are some of our like largest resources in our community not providing funding opportunities? Are they not providing opportunities for funding? Are they not selecting agencies? Like, what is that about? Because, you know, we do a lot of the heavy lifting for the local funding, but, you know, some of these private options are local, but they're not utilized.
Particularly given that they're not paying taxes. That just grates me. I also just want to note UIUC, nothing. And they have like two or three of their new efforts come to mind, that they're funding positions meaning to link up with local funds or local organizations. I know DRI has been contacted, but I don't know. I thought it was a very interesting report.
I guess the bounds are, this is maybe a very certain type of agency. So maybe those other sources of community or private funding are going to other agencies that do totally different things. So there's that. But also, I was really heartened by contributions. And fundraising, that we actually do live in a very generous community with, you know, all of our other problems. That it's kind of nice that people put that much money into these type of services. I thought that was nice. So, anyway.
Any other comments? Well, thank you again very much, Lynn, for putting this together and for the rest of the staff for helping out. Next, we will move to public participation agency inputs once more. So once again, members of the public may speak with the Mental Health Board. We cannot respond directly to public comment, but we may use it to inform future decisions. If there's anyone online or in person that would like to speak with us, you can approach the podium, fill out a comment card, put something in the chat, or raise your hand on Zoom. I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. There is a public comment. So there's nobody in person, but it appears that there is somebody online who would like to make public comment. So are we ready to?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jessica right. Smith.
Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Many of you probably do not know me, but I am from DSC. I am the Director of Family Development, and we get a lot of our funding from the MHB, so I'm glad to be here and to participate in these meetings. First, I just want to say thank you to Lynn for your kind words in the beginning, just to the organization as a whole. I've only been here for about a year, but I've known about DSC for quite a long time, so very glad to be a part of our agency. Just kind of want to really give a quick update since we don't normally do that in these meetings, but just to kind of show the progress that our agency is going through, especially the Department of Family Development, since that's what you guys fund through the MHB for the majority. But I do just want to say, I feel like we've had really, really great collaborations throughout the community, which has increased our ability to just kind of get our name out there, talk about early intervention, talk about what our department's doing. We've seen a large increase in the number of developmental screenings that we've been able to provide in daycare centers and within early childhood programs throughout the county. We have a lot of really great interns from the U of I starting in our program this semester. So really excited to just promote early childhood professions and kind of just see where those professionals go. And again, I feel like one of our biggest things is our collaboration with Salt and Light throughout the community to establish our playgroups that are available for families and children within the county. Those have just started this week and will go for 8 weeks. So we're really excited to see a lot of new kiddos actually on the roster for this season, if you will. So yeah, just kind of want to thank all of you again for your continued support, as always, from the MHB. And thank you again to Lynn for your kind words, because we definitely work hard at what we do, and we appreciate the recognition. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much for your comment. Is there anyone else who would like to make public comment? It appears none, so we will next move on to board-to-board reports. As always, board members can serve as liaisons to community and agency boards. There's a list of possibilities on page 131, and if you'd like to get involved with that, you can reach out to Stephanie Howard Gallo. Are there any board members who want to make a board-to-board report?
As usual, I was at Community Coalition this month, and they did something a little bit different. They had people pair up, and just in that room, everybody that comes from all the agencies, if you were there, you had to pair up with somebody else, and you got 3 minutes to speak about yourself, and then they got 3 minutes, and then you switched to another pair, and so you get to meet different people in different agencies, and it was very interesting. It was short, but it was supposed to be. It was kind of like speed dating, you know, except without the date. So it was something they were trying to get more acquaintance besides just sitting there next to somebody. So that was fun. And then the other thing was an emphasis on school attendance as a predictor for so many things. And so there's an emphasis now going on across a lot of agencies is to get kids to go to school and stay in school and help them do that, because otherwise, and there are all kinds of, you know, statistics about what that does to you if you drop out of school. So they were both interesting initiatives for that meeting.
Thank you very much. Are there any other board-to-board reports?
Kind of, sort of, and I'm going to ask my friend Lynn to remind me what the actual name of what we went to last night, and then I'll tell you my perspective on it.
There's a developmental disabilities-focused agency called Community Choices, and they've been participating in a research project that's at Queen's University in Canada, which, like, that project is in six different countries, and the only U.S. agency, the only U.S. entity is Community Choices. But I did one of the interviews with them, so I think, I don't know if anybody else here got a call from them to do an interview, but it was quite nice. So, and the project is about how do people balance family and natural support with formal support. Anyway.
Yeah, so they have done some of the study. Last night they presented. We were the fifth country they had you know, met up with some of their data. It was fascinating, and I know that we actually don't fund them on the mental health board, but there were so many things that really encouraged me. And, you know, like Chris pointed out, the idea of, you know, asking people who are currently living those experiences, what do you need? What do you want? And it was just really like uplifting, and I really learned a lot about their agency and the fact that this is the only agency in the United States that is doing this worldwide study. And so it was really neat. And so I was glad that Lynn happened to send the invite to all of us. And my husband was working last night, and I was like, heck, go work with some people, get some dispassionate food. And I'm really glad I did, because I feel like there was some stuff I could bring back even into the mental health board of, you know, one of their, and I think Community Choices actually uses this, with you, not for you, and how important that is, whatever individuals we're working with, to partner with them rather than saying, oh, I'll do it for you, or I'm going to tell you what to do. So it was very nice.
Thank you for sharing. Any other board-to-board reports? All right, seeing none, next county board input. Do we have any county board input?
I do have some hot goss. We are looking at restarting the reentry council. We have finally, after shifting from funding Rosecrans for that $100K, which I'm not going to be that candid. I have to remember it's a public meeting. We are now finally evaluating how we want to use that funds, and we know it's not a lot, but we would like to figure out some way to leverage it into more money. So we have at least one dedicated person who works on grants, and we will, again, reconvene that council to figure out what's the best ratio to hit. What are our goals? We're looking to, I guess, get more, maybe not elegant, but we would like a way to set goals and to track if we are meeting those goals. So I guess I just wanted to communicate that we're thinking more seriously about how we use those funds.
Thank you for the update. Next, we'll move to the CCDDB board input. Lynn, any updates?
No.
All right. Next to last, we have board announcements and input. Do any board members have announcements or input? All right. Seeing none, the last thing to do is to adjourn. Our next study session will be next Wednesday, January 28th at 5:45 p.m. right here in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center in Urbana. Have a good night.
Mystery world.